The reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 6. Next, Paul and Silas travelled through the areas of Phrygia and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the port of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there, pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Firstly, I want to say a huge thank you for inviting me here and giving me the opportunity of sharing a little of the work of CAP here in Bangor in Northern Ireland. For those of you who don't know very much about CAP, Christians Against Poverty is an award-winning international debt help charity. And the story of CAP began in 1996 when John Kirkby, who was living and working in Bradford, had fallen into serious financial difficulty with debts of over £70,000. But because of his background working in the financial industry, he was able to come up with a plan and get out of debt. And during this time, John became a Christian, and he believed God was calling him to help others in the same position. And the CAP story began. This year, we are celebrating our 15th year anniversary of CAP here in Northern Ireland. There are now 20 debt centres across Northern Ireland, together helping on average over 500 families every year, with 70 clients becoming debt-free last year. Our Bangor CAP debt centre opened in 2010, and since I began the role of the debt centre manager in May of 2021, we have had 51 first visit appointments and saw over 16 families become debt-free. And we are continuing to support 22 clients on their journey currently. This morning, Nigel introduced me as the debt centre manager for CAP here in Bangor. But that wasn't always the case. I'd like to share with you a little of my own story with CAP. Several years ago, I found myself in a very different position. Due to some personal circumstances, my household finances were insecure and unpredictable, and I had begun to use credit cards and store cards, buy now, pay later, to pay for things like shopping, oil, birthdays, Christmas, and of course, the washing machine always breaks down. However, it was becoming increasingly difficult to juggle, and I had previously worked in a bank and grew up in a home where budgeting was emphasised. So I really understood that things were actually starting to spiral out of control. If I could use one phrase to sum up what being in debt feels like, I would say it is all consuming. And it was actually really starting to take a big toll on my mental health, something which our clients would regularly describe. I hadn't been a Christian for very long, but I began to pray and ask God for his help, and it wasn't very long before I heard about the CAP Money course being held in our church. The course was great, but nothing I did added up. So I spoke to the course coaches, and he and his wife invited me round to their home very kindly to go through everything and see if there was anything else they could do to help. I will never forget that evening. He put everything down on the table and he just looked me straight in the eye and he said, "Aisling, there's absolutely no more you can do. There is nothing left to cut back. There's just too much going out and not enough coming in. You actually need our debt help service." I had many doubts and fears in that moment, along with feelings of self-blame and failure. But to cut a long story short, I did make the call to our free phone number. Flo, you can put that number up on the slide. Thank you very much. That was the beginning of another story, a story which I am pleased to say, with God's help, ended with me becoming debt-free in January of 2015, and I've actually kept my letter. of becoming debt-free. I've actually kept that letter. I have the privilege, along with my colleague Tim Warwick, who couldn't be here this morning, of coming alongside others who are struggling. Many of those stories aren't that dissimilar to mine. To be honest, this could be anyone's story. We are working very hard at CAP to get across the message that this can happen to anyone at any time. Debt does not discriminate. We have clients from all walks of life, young and old, employed, not employed. As my friend James Miles would say, we have everyone from surgeons to sofa surfers and everything in between. You can put up the next slide for me, please, Flo, that'd be great. There is still a huge stigma and shame that exists around debt. And in a recent survey, it showed a fifth of our clients wait over 3 years before seeking help. And for many of the clients that we visit, this is the first time they have even discussed their situation, and very often they have been hiding this from family and friends. When we understand the story behind the causes of debts and why people borrow, then we are better placed to provide solutions and show compassion. For many of our clients, their story is a story of a change in circumstances, i.e. a relationship breakdown, caring responsibilities, story maybe of job loss or living on a low income, and that can still mean two working parents, as prices of mortgage, rent, food, energy and childcare have recently skyrocketed. This has placed many, many household budgets under severe strain. And we've all heard the saying, our health is our wealth. And for many of those who struggle with mental or physical health problems, financial hardship can be very much a part of their story. And you can see there on this slide, we have a reason for our borrowing. We take a lot of surveys in CAP to find out what's going on. For many, the story is a story of needing to cover the cost of borrowing food, other living costs, and especially unexpected costs. And on the slide, it shows over 50% are borrowing for food, clothing, and just general living costs. So how do we help people? What does that story look like? You can pop up the next slide, Flo, thank you. So this is a very brief overview of our debt help service. As I said, it starts with a phone call, then I go out to visit a client, we have a good chat about everything that's been going on. By the third visit, we're really starting to gather all that paperwork, send it to head office, and they will come up with a budget and advice plan. And then the client makes a decision, they're happy with that, they want to go ahead, and we walk with them through the journey. So we offer a free, confidential, non-judgmental, face-to-face service. We offer to pray with our clients, I share a wee bit of my story to help put them at their ease, and we also offer some practical support for food or energy top-ups. But we support everybody through the whole of their entire journey. For some people, that can take up to 7 years. So your story in this, well, your story is really about you being here. You're part of this story this morning. So this morning, you could use this morning to tell people that we are here to help. Share my story if you feel comfortable. There are leaflets I have put on each of your seats there, and there's plenty of resources there. You may yourself, or you might know someone who is having difficulties right now. You're actually not really too sure how to help them, or how you could get help yourself. The leaflets here provide all the information you would need. Some of us don't have a lot of confidence in trying to help others with financial difficulties, but we are here to make sure we can help. So I've also invited my lovely friend Gillian here. Do you want to stand up? Could be so well wave. Gillian has recently been through our CAP debt help service, and Gillian is now debt free and is a volunteer working with CAP, and would be happy to share her story of her journey and how CAP was able to support her. And I'm also around after the service if anyone wants to chat to me. Please, please pray for the work of CAP here in Bangor and the wider community. We do have a monthly CAP prayer meeting on the first Wednesday of every month at 10 a.m. up in Christchurch Primacy, and that's for CAP prayer. And if you want, you can sign up for our monthly prayer email, which I have out the back there whenever you're finished, and I have a sheet and you can sign up for that. by contributing financially to the work of CAP here in Bangor, you are actually part of this bigger story, allowing the Debt Centre to continue running and providing this vital service to anyone who seeks help with unmanageable debt. As Christians Against Poverty, we are people of faith. This is what sets us apart. We are part of God's story. This is at the heart of what we do. His heart for the poor, his kingdom purposes. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." For many, the weight of debt is crushing, and Jesus wants us to help others with that. God's story, interwoven throughout the Bible, is a story of redemption, of seeing those who are in any kind of poverty or captivity being set free and released into a new life with him, where any kind of debt doesn't get to have the final word. Thank you so much for listening this morning, and Johnny's going to come up and have a chat. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Aisling, thank you so much for sharing your story and the story of the Debt Centre and the story of what God's doing through that. And just to say, this is the flyer which is on your seat, which is for the Lent Appeal, which we're going to contribute and support the work of the Debt Centre. And there's all the information on there about how you can give and how to go about that and support the work that CAP are doing there. The work of CAP is, as Aisling says, really vital. Particularly in letting people know who are struggling with debt that help is available, because often those that struggle with debt keep it to themselves, as Aisling has said. After becoming a Christian in my early 30s, I still had to work through the consequences of a life full of poor choices. And part of that was that I was in a deep well of debt. And I remember one day I said to the Lord, "You know, you're going to have to help me with this, because I just will not get out of it on my own." And it was as if in that moment he popped a thought into my head, and he said, "You know what, you're already debt-free, but it's just that your bank statement doesn't show it yet." He'd already given me new life by his Spirit, a gift from the Father through Jesus Christ, through his life and death and resurrection. But this was another moment of transformation. I still had the debt, but the number in the bank statement, it hadn't changed. But the difference was, I was no longer enslaved to it. I was no longer fearful and ashamed. And in that moment, everything began to change. In the passage today, we see Paul and Silas having their plans reset. Twice they're unable to go to where they wanted to go to preach the gospel. But they don't complain or lose hope. They keep going, confident in the fact that the Lord is guiding them. The passage says that it was the Holy Spirit who blocked their way. So when Paul had a dream or a vision in which a man from Macedonia came to him and said, "Come over and help us, come over to Macedonia," Paul and those he was traveling with recognized immediately that God was directing their steps, that he was in charge. And so they just decided to leave for Macedonia at once, no hesitation. It was as if they said, "Happy days, let's go." The passage, as Nigel pointed to, is one of the lectionary readings for this weekend, for St. Patrick's weekend, because it's so similar to the way that God called Patrick to come to Ireland as a missionary. An Irish man came to St. Patrick in a dream, holding a whole load of letters, and St. Patrick took one of them and started to read. And as he began to read the first line, he heard a chorus of voices saying, "We beg you, holy boy, to come and walk again among us." So in both these things, we see this is how God works. He gives new life as a gift, and then he uses those who have taken that new life to bring new life to others. And he directs them as they go, and transformation happens. We sensed as a church that guidance of God in recent years to take the gospel out in word and deed. And so We Are With You was born in 2020. When everything was being turned upside down by the pandemic, We took 40 or 50 people out in the streets, and we went to the over 4,000 doors in the parish, and we put a note through each door which had a message of hope on it, a message that told the story of Jesus and the church. And it also highlighted the help and practical help that was available from the church here. And we did that in 2020, and we went out again in 2020 at Christmas time, and we did the same thing. In 2021, we went out again, and we took 40 or 50 people, and this time we went and knocked the doors of every house in the parish. We felt that we had become a bit bolder, so we, with our knees knocking together, started knocking doors and speaking to people. Over 4,200 homes, and we chatted to them, and we highlighted the help that the church had available, and we asked them how the church could be a better neighbor to them, and we encouraged them. And sometimes we got a chance to pray with them. We talked to them about Jesus in some situations. It was really exciting to see God at work. And we highlighted the work that Harbour does here, particularly. Now, if you don't know what Harbour is, the church operates a community drop-in out of the hall on a Thursday. And at the minute, there's a team of over 17 people involved in delivering that every week. And through that ministry, we offer prayer and signposting and emergency help with food and clothing. In 2022, we did the Live in Hope barbecues, and this was something to sort of change up. We are with you, and we went to different places in the parish, and we agreed to set up a barbecue there. We were allowed to set up barbecues in these places, and we went, and we took games, and we took food, and we took all our people, and we went and put leaflets through the doors, invited people to come out and join with us, and we spent some time and got to know people. Now, to be honest with you, the weather was mixed, and it didn't always work out. But it was really, really good. And we did some litter pickups and stuff, and we tried to go around the parish and make life a little better in the parish as well. And then in 2023, we had the Soma mission, and that was where the Anglican organization brought a team of worldwide missionaries to stay with us in the parish for a week, and again, we had a week of intensive mission. And what we learned through those years was that God is always at work. It wasn't that we were going out to do something that he wasn't doing because we weren't out there already. We were going out to join with what he was already doing. And what happened as we went was that we began to see more and more of what he was doing. He allowed us to see that. And what was really being changed in that moment was us. It built our faith. It let us know that it's his mission. And so we don't want that to stop. We don't want mission to be something we just do. We want it to become part of who we are as a church. And so that's why in the next few weeks, we're going to launch New Life for the City with the hashtag We Are With You. Instead of trying to reach the whole parish in 1 year, which was a great achievement, but it was challenging at times, we're going to focus on a smaller area each year. And we'll continue to do that for the years ahead, every year. And we'll seek to cover the whole parish and meet all of our neighbors over a 4 to 5 year period. We're going to take our time, and we're going to listen, and we're going to pray. So what is the idea? Well, it has 5 strands to it. Strand 1 is all about prayer. The Spring Life Group term in May this year will have a portion of time devoted within the life groups to praying for the local community. We'll also have Sunday evening prayer walks happening during May, where there'll be a chance to come along and get out in the street and walk and pray. Sunday mornings, we will have times where we focus prayer on the local community. And we'll be asking people to pray individually at home as well, and to keep that heart burning for the local community. Strand 2 is all about network. One of the things we realized last time is that it was great going to bless our neighbors in the houses, but we were burdened a bit for the traders and for the local organizations and for the schools, and we didn't really get to contact them last time. So what we want to do this time is begin to build a network as a church with local organizations, schools, traders, council, police. And the way we're going to do that is simply to take one school and one preschool this year, very local to us here, and reach out to them and say, you know, as a church, we have a real heart to want to bless you. We have skills, we have resources, we have people, and we would like to do something to help. How can we help you? And we're going to do that in faith, and ask the Lord to guide us and to bring requests forward. And responding to those requests may involve financial commitment from us. It may involve practical, prayerful commitment, effort on our behalf. But what we hope in the years ahead is that we will build this network. We will grow our connections as stakeholders in this city and people who want to bring new life to the city. Strand 3 is all about boots on the ground. So that is about going to the doors again, seeing our neighbours, listening to people, asking how they are, offering to pray for healing, giving a gift, seeking to speak about new life in Christ, and asking how we as a church can be good neighbours, and listening to that. We'll ask if there are practical ways we can help. Maybe we can cut some grass or paint a fence or fix a leak. We'll highlight pathways for families to connect into church. We'll highlight the work of Harbour that we've talked about. And as part of that, in the months ahead, we hope to really step into a place of further depth in the way that we provide food, in a way that brings dignity, choice, and hope, and builds relationships with people over a long term. As part of the gift that we give on the doorsteps, we hope to be able to include some testimonies of people who have found new life in Christ recently, and actually link to some videos where they're able to hear a bit more about those stories. And then Strand 4 is all about practical help. So come to the month of August, we hope to have received some requests for projects from our local schools and from neighbours who we have talked to on the doors. And we want to have developed those projects and put resources and people in place and action plans. And in a sort of focused time in August, we're actually going to go and we're going to seek to fix some stuff and to make some things better for people and to help out. And then Strand 5, late August, early September, we're going to celebrate. We'll get together and celebrate all that the Lord has done. We'll tell some of those stories about what we've seen Him do over the summer. So that's it. New life for the city. So how do you connect to it? Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that there's going to be a way for people of all abilities to connect to this. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are, you can connect to this, because actually mission is really important to how we're formed as disciples of Jesus. So it's not just about having to go out. You can come and pray. You can pack gifts. There's going to be a number of ways. So what we're going to ask people to do in a couple of weeks' time is express interest to be involved. And we're going to connect everyone who wants to be involved to this project in some way. We're going to ask you to also begin to pray. Pray that those networks, those connections that we make are fruitful, that there will be good dialogue, that the Lord will go before us and appoint ways for us to help people and to connect. And pray also that the Lord would direct our steps as we go. Just like Paul and Silas, these are our plans, but we'll hold them with open hands to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes He resets plans. But we want to be guided by Him and go and do the things that He has prepared in advance for us to do. Thank you for your time.